On the South Lawn of the White House this afternoon, President Biden celebrated the historic confirmation of Ketanji Brown Jackson to the Supreme Court. Later this year, she will take her seat as the first Black woman ever on the court.
As I'm sure you can imagine, in this moment, it is hard to find the words to express the depth of my gratitude.
The celebration is happening at the same time that coronavirus cases are surging in Washington. We spoke with our Friday Politics Roundtable while the event was underway. Today, we have Francesca Chambers, White House correspondent for McClatchy, and Chad Pergram, congressional correspondent for Fox News. Hello to both of you.
Good to be with you.
So let's hear a little bit of the historic roll call in the Senate yesterday, read by Vice President Kamala Harris.
On this vote, the yeas are 53, the nays are 47. And this nomination is confirmed.
So in the midst of all that's going on, Francesca, inflation, possible Russian war crimes in Ukraine, can we count this as a major win for President Biden?
Well, in the short term, it's unclear if it'll give him a bounce in the polls above where he's been, which has been in the middle to low 40s. But the allies of the White House who I've been speaking to and my colleagues have been speaking to this week really think that in the long term, this will be a significant part of President Biden's legacy, appointing the first Black woman to the Supreme Court. And so unclear if it'll help him in the midterm elections or his party. But in terms of history, even the president today at this event pointing to that history and really leaning into it.
Francesca, I think we should point out that you are at the White House. We can hear the celebration behind you. It does seem like a pretty celebratory day, doesn't it?
Yes, and apologize if I'm speaking quietly in the back right now as I try not to talk over Judge Jackson. But yes, you know, she is currently talking about how her family helped her get here, the folks at the White House also, and talking about what this historic occasion really means to her.
Chad, only three Republicans voted to confirm Judge Jackson. We are very far from the days when nominees like Ruth Bader Ginsburg were unanimously confirmed. What do you think both parties are taking away from this process?
Well, it's kind of a toxic confirmation process right now, and both sides, the leaders on both sides of the aisle in the Senate, will basically admit to that. You know, we're in this era of narrow confirmations. If you look at Amy Coney Barrett in 2020, the confirmation there was 52-48. Brett Kavanaugh in 2018, that was 50-48. So this is kind of where we are, especially in a 50-50 Senate. You asked Francesca if this was a victory for the president. It certainly was. Anytime you can get anything done in a 50-50 Senate. And what about how this pertains to the midterms? Midterm elections are about getting out your base. And the president promised a lot of things. He promised to put a Black woman on the Supreme Court. He did that. He has not gotten Build Back Better done, however. So this is a way that they can possibly go and curate a narrative with their base that, look, this is what we did. You know, the left and progressives are very disappointed that they've not accomplished some of those other goals. And you know, the other thing, too, that this might help in a micro way, one of the vulnerable senators that's up for re-election this fall is Raphael Warnock. He is an African-American senator from Georgia in a swing state. Something like this would help him. By the same token, Republicans will weaponize this vote. And this is why we heard so many comments during the confirmation hearings about pornography and being soft on crime and those things here. They will turn that around, the Republicans will, on the Democrats who are vulnerable, who voted for her. Look at Mark Kelly in Arizona and Maggie Hassan in New Hampshire.
Well, speaking of that, on the Senate floor yesterday, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell called Judge Jackson the choice of the radical left, who he says is running the show in Washington.
With Washington Democrats in power, the far left got the reckless inflationary spending they wanted. The far left has gotten the insecure border they wanted. And today, the far left will get the Supreme Court justice they wanted.
Francesca, do you imagine that Judge Jackson's confirmation will become a talking point in the elections?
Well, as Chad was just talking about, for some of those Republican senators and potentially the Republicans who are running in the election, that is something that they could talk about. At the same time, they also tried to make it clear in their view that this was not personal, that this was about process. We also heard Mitch McConnell say yesterday that he thought that they treated her respectfully when you compare that to the way that Justice Kavanaugh was treated. But of course, Democrats, as many of them are aggrieved, and you talk about the black voters in the midterm elections, there is a sense, at least from Democratic Party officials that I'm talking to, that it could actually boost Democrats in this election. Some of the things that we saw in that committee hearing from the Republicans who they feel were too tough on her in their lines of questioning.
Chad, I want to move on to another thing that is happening in Congress now, or not happening, rather. There was a deal to repurpose $10 billion in coronavirus relief money, and then some Republicans and some vulnerable Democrats started to object, and they wanted to include something on immigration policy as well with this bill. Where are we? What happened?
Well, they're not going to get this COVID money done anytime soon because Congress is now done for 2 weeks for the Easter and Passover recess. You're right. They thought they had this deal, $10 billion in COVID aid. This would be for vaccines and therapeutics and also for testing in case if we have another surge. They said, you know, this money needs to be ready because we're just about out right now. And Republicans said, wait a minute, the administration is going to end Title 42, which is this pandemic policy about, you know, mitigating, migration at the border that was put into effect in March of 2020. And they wanted to take a vote on that amendment in the Senate in order to pass the COVID bill. And there are some Democrats who were for that, who have talked about saying, hey, we don't like them ending Title 42, including Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona. I mentioned Mark Kelly earlier, who has a competitive race, and that amendment may very well have passed. Well, here's the problem. Even if they passed the bill in the Senate with those provisions, and this would have been an embarrassment on the immigration side of the administration, it probably would not have passed the House of Representatives. The other problem in the House is they had already taken out $5 billion in international COVID assistance. You know, they talk about all these variants, they all start overseas. So you have to look universally at what you're doing in the fight against COVID. And so there was concern that that bill could not even pass in the House as is. And so they've gone away without passing anything on COVID because, as I always say, it's about the math, and it just didn't work out. You know, my colleague Brett Baer here at Fox News asked Mitch McConnell last night in an interview whether or not it was a cynical approach to try to attach immigration provisions to a bill that deals with COVID in the middle of the pandemic. And he said no. He says not at all. So this is election year politics once again, because Republicans know if they talk about this issue about the border, they think that helps them, even if it undercuts COVID funding.
Although, Francesca, it's not just Republicans. One of the Democrats that has raised objections is New Hampshire Senator Maggie Hassan, who did a recent interview with WMUR and expressed concerns about a possible surge of immigrants at the border because of the decision to end Title 42.
We need to be pushing the administration more to really listen to the frontline personnel and make sure that we have in place the technology, the barriers, the personnel to really deal with what we are going to see surging at the border, especially.
So what are we to make of this particular comment coming from a New Hampshire Democrat?
Well, we've also heard it from other vulnerable Democratic senators, similar arguments and concerns about Title 42. When you look at Arizona, border state, Mark Kelly is up for re-election this year, and he's also raised concerns alongside Kyrsten Sinema. And so certainly from Maggie Hassan, also up for re-election this cycle, I will point out, we have heard some of those same concerns, and they came up this past week in the United States Senate.
All right, Chad, real quick, can you explain why it was only yesterday that Congress passed bills to end permanent normal trade relations with Russia and ban imports of Russian oil, coal, and gas? And also, what did it mean specifically? Because I thought the administration, the White House, had already done some of this stuff.
That's right. Well, this deals with normalizing trade relations with Russia and Belarus, and we have that status with them, and they were going to take this away. This bill had passed the House of Representatives 424-8 in March. They moved it over to the Senate. They thought it would move very quickly. Rand Paul had some objections to this, and the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, he could have gone through a process to get this passed. It would have taken a few days, but he was reluctant to do that because he was concerned it would chew up floor time, which is the coin of the realm in the United States Senate, as they rushed to confirm Ketanji Brown Jackson to the Supreme Court. So if they got bogged down in this parliamentary gymnastics trying to get the Russia bill done to take away normal trade status there, they might have had to delay the confirmation of Ketanji Brown Jackson. And Chuck Schumer said that that was priority A number one, getting that confirmation through. And that's why the Russia bill, you know, fell to the wayside, even though technically they passed that Russia bill first before they confirmed Jackson.
All right, we don't have a lot of time here before we have to let you go, but just real quick, Francesca, can you comment on the amount of COVID that appears to be going, whipping through the legislative community there in Washington, D.C.? What are people saying about it?
Well, what I can tell you about the South Lawn, as this event is now ending, is that it was held outside. While you do see people mingling in close contact here, there are some people who are wearing masks. But again, they held it on the South Lawn today, not in the Rose Garden, perhaps maybe because the White House didn't want to drop the imagery of the last South Lawn confirmation event.
That was Francesca Chambers, reporter for McClatchy, and Chad Pergram with Fox News. Thanks to you both.